We recently talked about the proposed rule changes governing harbor users. A big part of those new rules would be the illegal killing of wild and abandoned domestic cats. In my conversation with Division of Boating and Ocean Recreation Administrator Ed Underwood, he mentioned that the strategy of trap, neuter, release, and manage the cats wasn't effective, and why stronger means to control the cat communities were, in his opinion, necessary. Pacific Pet Alliance co-director Ken Cribbs says that amounts to wholesale cat slaughter. Ken Cribbs joins us now. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation.
When we talk about cat communities, there are lots of different cats in those communities, and we tend to sometimes lump them all together. But specifically when we talk about what's a feral cat, what's a cat that has maybe had some human contact but hasn't been a pet, and then what are those abandoned pets, all of those components of the cat communities. How do you feel the responsibility to those cat communities might be similar or different based on what those cats' components really are?
Well, first let's make sure we know what we're talking about when we use those terms. They're all the same genus and species, Felis catus, and so biologically they're all exactly the same. However, what is pejoratively termed a feral cat, excuse me, is a cat that hasn't had socialization with humans. It's a cat that is wild and that will avoid human contact. A stray cat is a cat that has had human socialization. Perhaps it was once a pet or it's the kitten born of a pet, but that has been abandoned or lost or escaped. Perhaps it accidentally got out of the house, was chased by a dog, and became lost in a neighborhood, got transported somewhere else. Those cats can often be resocialized and can become pets once again. Then there are cats that are indoor pets and outdoor cats that sort of float between both human socialization and colonies outdoors.
But because they're all cats, and for whatever their background may be, they're living there at the harbor, and some would say they're making a mess of it in ways that are tough for people to manage. You say that's a separate problem from the cats themselves.
That's correct. The management of a colony depends upon the maturity of the colony and the composition of the colony. Colonies that are primarily spayed or neutered animals that are adults, that are well-fed and well-cared for, tend to have healthier behaviors. They don't poop just indiscriminately. They find a place with a sandy soil, and they cover their feces. Cats that are emaciated or that are scared, or cats that are unsocialized, often will just poop anywhere. So the more mature and the more socialized a colony becomes, the less the offensive behaviors. And of course, as you spay and neuter the members of that colony and then return them to the colony, they compete for resources with the cats that have not been spayed and neutered. And so as the colony ages, and it does take some time, there's no quick fix to any of these problems, the maturity of the colony increases, the proportion of kittens decreases. That has lots of other secondary effects, like reducing the amount of toxoplasmosis that might be shed into the environment.
Because that comes from kittens.
It does. And toxoplasmosis, it's a protozoal disease. It's only spread through the feces of kittens. It's extremely rare for an adult cat to be able to pass that organism into the environment. And a kitten that does have toxoplasmosis, and not all do, is only infectious for about a week to 2 weeks. And so there's a short period of transmission and a small number of kittens that are infected.
All that said, the idea of effectiveness is the place where a lot of people get stuck. What does it mean to effectively manage a colony, and what does that bring in terms of human behavior? You talk about the time frame to be effective. What are you really looking at if you were to say that at the harbors there would be trap and neuter, and then to be able to release them and manage those colonies? When would you expect to see something that would say to us, look, this is really effective?
It depends in great measure upon how many people are involved in the effort, how much time they devote to it. The more people are devoted to the management of a colony, the shorter the time is. As the percentage of cats that are not reproducing in a colony increases above 50%, then you start seeing numbers very rapidly decrease. I'll give you an example. Maui has had some very effective trap, neuter, return, and manage colonies. There was a colony in El Valle that originally had 650 cats. And over a period of years, Jody Sparks, who leads the colony management program there, now says there's only 125 living there. If they can continue that downward trajectory, then that cat population will be manageable. But please keep in mind, you will never eliminate every community cat. They're too wily, they're too smart, they're too adaptable, and they're too fecund. The sad thing for humanity in relations to cats is that an unspayed female cat, if she produces 2 litters a year and 2.8 of those survive each litter, her offspring and she can create 11.6 million cats in 9 years. That's just a phenomenal reproductive rate, and that's the nature of the animal.
And that's the very scary part when people are looking at these, you know, these colonies and thinking, what are they going to do about it? But the idea of potentially going out there and, you know, as you call it, wholesale slaughtering the cats in, by any means necessary, could mean that this could be done in very inhumane ways. You could club them or drown them or do anything else to
be poison them, which is an agonizing death, or starve them.
Which seems to say much more about us than it does about the cats.
It does, and I think that we have to be humane in how we approach this. Killing is never the way to reduce cat populations. It just doesn't work. Let me give you an example. If you start killing cats, you're only going to kill the ones that you're able to trap easily, right? The ones that are the smartest, the wiliest, you'll never catch them. Those are the ones that will reproduce and pass on their traits to their offspring. And so the colony becomes less and less manageable over time just by killing. That's why trap, neuter, release, and manage is such an effective method if it's properly performed and with diligence and with enough time.
What about contraception? I mean, there are shots, there are things that can happen, but again, you have to have the cat to be able to do that.
That's right. The University of Florida did develop a contraceptive. It works for somewhere between 5 months and 5 years. It's very variable in that regard. So it can effectively reduce, but the most effective way is to spay or neuter the animal, and we're very effective at that. At the same time, they can be given immunizations. They can be given a dose of a flea medication. They can be physically examined. If they're badly injured or badly diseased, then they can be humanely euthanized, which is appropriate, unfortunately, in some cases.
What do you think it will take to convince, say, DLNR, that this particular part of the rules that you find so objectionable should be deleted?
I'm not sure. We've seen a very rather draconian approach to the rulemaking. And frankly, it has kind of a hidden time bomb in it as well, because it redefines abandonment as putting a cat into a colony. So if you trap, neuter, and treat a cat and then want to return it to its colony, the act of returning it to the colony is a violation of law. It's considered abandonment. And so it really is an end run. Not only do they don't want TNR, but they also don't want to even give it a chance to work.
So as we have to say goodbye for the moment, what is it you see as the next step as these rules are continuing to be discussed and there hasn't been a solid point of finality yet?
I think it's important to recognize that people that are advocating on behalf of community cats are a very dedicated group, and they're not going to be deterred. They're going to continue to manage their colonies. And are we going to create a criminal class because of that? I think that's rather short-sighted.
Ken Cribbs, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Bethany. I appreciate it.
Ken Cribbs is co-director of the Pacific Pet Alliance. He's also the former ambassador for the Hawaii division of the Cat Fanciers Association.